to that spiritual, actual, factual answers to questions he asking. You find them inside you, recite you, reciting the records of Kashuk. We laughing, we drafting the passion through fabric. It's time for that comedy, dramedy, all of the fanciest, catchiest acronyms. Listeners, listen, we traveling. Consciousness is always unraveling. The reading you're having is mapping you back to your natural habitat. Abracadabra, it's magic, let's pass it. To top it off, the host are the classiest. Now, what were you asking for? All of the answers, what? All the answers.
So happy holidays, everyone.
Yeah, we're heading into the time that is challenging for a lot of people, it sounds like.
Indeed.
And also joyful for other people.
The astrological thing?
Yeah, and all kinds of things I've been hearing.
Tell me what you've been hearing.
Oh, more and more from you and from some messages that have been exchanging and just talking to people. Like, I think it's almost a cliche, but a real one, that December is starting around Thanksgiving, in at least in the U.S., in most people that I know, things just get more challenging. You run into a lot of things. And I'm wondering if there's more to that than just the sort of standard commercial phrasing of it, of like, oh, we have to go shopping and get together with people. Mm. But is there like a deeper, like, astrological or energetic thing?
Yeah, well, I know some stuff.
Thought you might.
My damn light just died again.
You look beautiful, Katie.
I know. I just want to be seen. I want to be visible in the world.
You're seen by me. And that's, in this case, I'm the only one who can see
it's you. So, you know what it is? It's so unflattering when the shiny light isn't on. I hate looking at my, you know what? I'll turn my, no, I'm not going to.
No, all you got to do is this. Just put it on speaker view and then you'll mostly be looking at me.
That's a good point. Okay, I'll do that.
Or, yeah, exactly.
Oh, that's better. Yeah. And I can put this little thing over my face. Fantastic. Okay. So there's a bunch of stuff. There's the solstice, which, so I'm going to say a few things and I'll come back. Then there's this thing we have going on right this minute in this year, the 12th to the 21st, which I talked about, that Desmond was referring to in our little chat privately with the three of us. Where we kind of, there's like a really strong portal right now for everyone, the 12th to the 21st in December, where people are, I mean, today, to give you an example, my dog walker, who's like become a dear friend, I love her, she's Squeezle's aunt, she got T-boned on the freeway and her car is totaled, it's a brand new car. And like, what? And then like every client is in the middle of like big fucking change and just everybody's going through. There's a lot happening. So there's
solstice.
I just
found out today that someone who's like young, like maybe in their 30s, a friend of mine's fiance had a stroke.
What?
Like someone in their 30s had a stroke. Like that's.
No.
It's nuts. It's nuts.
Yeah, exactly. So we got the portal. All of these things are here to awaken in us, like our higher selves, and to break us into the next layer of consciousness. And it's all for the good in the long run. And it's all about awakening and enlightenment and transcending 3D reality and passing the human realm and into the 5D. But, you know, in order to do that, things have to break down and die. You know, it's like spiritual people on the internet love to market about activation. Everything's the new language now is like activate it and activate your light body and activate your soul. And it's true. And I say that I those words too in my marketing, but I always like to include, just remember that part of activating is everything you are now is going to die. So the solstice is about that too. It's like the winter solstice is like going down and in to the body and the heart and the soul to die to what we don't need anymore, which is definitely what I'm being given. I could talk this whole time, and I'm really going to try not to, about what I've been experiencing the last couple of weeks, just through my own pain and suffering that's leading to things, but you get the idea. So
yeah.
That's just for everyone listening. Just, you are not crazy and you are not alone. And the last two things I want to say, I had a session with my healer today, who is, man, you think I'm a tough broad. Motherfucker. Imagine the lady who has to deal with me and put me in my place. You know what I mean? She's like fucking force of nature. She's like a hurricane. She's amazing. I love her. And she was like, you know, helping me contextualize my stuff and talking about, okay, I'm going to just straight up Star Wars it. We're going straight to Star Wars, Cass. And then we're going to do our fun, lighthearted thing we're going to do today. But
fine. I want to hear about Star Wars.
Okay. So she was talking about, she always says things to me like, well, you remember how the forces of light and dark have fought two other times in recent history, right? And she'll be very specific and be like, you remember how? I'm like, well, no, Beverly, I don't remember it that way, but say more. And then she'll be like, okay, well, when Atlantis fell, we all, the light workers, like, were pretty close to giving up and just being like, cool, so the darkness wins and that's okay. We surrender. The planet will explode. Humanity doesn't need to exist. Who am I to have a point of view about it? Whatever. You know, there's plenty of planets in the universe. She's like, but this time, her articulation of it was, the forces are always, of dark and light, are always fighting. They're right now doing a big fucking duke it out. COVID is part of it. She likes to call them accelerating energies and decelerating energies. So energies that want to slow things down and control. So like money, power, control, sex, that kind of stuff. When human beings start to act from those energies, they're being affected by what you could call decelerative energies. I would call them darkness or dark energies. She would too. But anyway, so she's like, right now, if you read the Hopi prophecy, and I talked about this when I moved to Colorado a lot, I was talking about the Hopi prophecy a lot because I had run into it through a series of synchronistic events, and it was a part of what activated me to move to Colorado, was that right now we're in the middle of the thing that the Hopi prophecy says, and every spiritual teaching lineage system of metaphysical or spiritual or what's the word I want? Ugh, mystical, but no, the ones that are not the religion, but the Sufis are the mystics. The mystics, I already said that. So all the mystical traditions have stories about this time in history. You know, there's even a famous song, The Dawning of the Age of Aquarius.
Yeah.
That is now, it dawned. In the 60s, it was the dawning of the Age of Aquarius, and then it hit just a few years ago. So we're in it. And the Age of Aquarius, the energy of Aquarius is all about totally destroying all structures that pre-exist and liberating consciousness into freedom. So Beverly Anderson, my healer, is of the point of view that like this time it has a different vibration and we're doing better in the war and hopefully Atlantis doesn't have to fall again, metaphorically speaking. She also had some really interesting shit to say about COVID that made a lot of sense to me. But anyway, that's like a real thing. So all the sensitives in the world are getting just knocked around so that anything karmic, heavy, emotional, unprocessed grief, trauma, this lifetime or any other, that isn't processed yet through the system is getting, sometimes you have to get thrown around in a car to like crack it open and get into it so you could deal with it. And so that looks like a lot of different things. And for me, it looks like my ankle got twisted. She said to me in our session, I'm like sobbing and going like, it's really hard, Beverly. And I've been working hard my whole life. And why is the universe punishing me? And is it a punishment? And she's like, bitch, you know better than that. And I'm like, I know, but I just need a minute to be sad and to feel angry and, you know, whatever. And she goes, you have to understand, this is very gentle, what they're giving you. Can you remember a few of your previous things? And I'm like, I do remember. And you're right. They were worse. But this was really bad. She's like, you could have been in a car accident and had three vertebrae severed. Like you could have been paralyzed. You could have been, it could be so much worse. And it helps me because I've been laid up and unable to move. And it's been a hard couple weeks, you know, but it was a good reminder.
We talked about it, like, I think on the last episode, how you hurt your ankle and it's still fucked up, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I see her sipping your cocktail, and we were talking about a cocktail, and I went and got a little afternoon whiskey just in your honor because I love you.
Oh.
And even though I have to go to work later, I'm not going to drink very much, just for the record, but I wanted to join you in a little toasting of clink. This is us clinking. Clink.
What are we can you say a toast and then I'll say a toast? What are we? Oh.
That didn't work. That was a strange sound. Bang. Clunk. No, that was a joke toast. I was going to say champagne for your real friends and real pain for your sham friends, which is a terrible thing to wish on anybody. I wouldn't wish real pain on anybody. Although pain is a teacher, as we're learning. Do you have a toast?
Well, I wanted to give you a voice because I'm going blah, 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 blah.
I'll just raise a glass to being able to continue to find the connective space of peace between the people as they go into this time of what feels to a lot of people is chaos. So
I mean,
in those connection, let's find our peace.
Clinky clinks. Clink. I love that. And I guess I want to toast to a couple things. One, you and Desmond for sticking with this in your ways when it's its own thing and you guys are sticking with it And that's deeply appreciated by me. Two, Clink, I would toast to like everybody who's been with us from the beginning, listening and supporting us. And Clink. And three, those who will come and who will be listening in the future and who are listening to this in past tense, past time. Like you're in the future, but you're listening in the past and we're in the future now and you're in the past. You understand. Clink to that. And finally, to everybody going through hard times at this moment, just I acknowledge and honor and bless your pain, and such that it might become a very clear teacher to you in this moment. Like, may your pain activate something very obvious to you so that you understand and can have gratitude for it, even though pain sucks asshole. Clink to that. And we drink.
And then we drink.
I want to believe that there are people out there listening to our podcast who have a thing where they listen to us and every time one or both of us does a something that we always do, they drink. I want like, there to be a drinking game.
Katie said bitch again. Drink.
Exactly. Katie referenced anuses. Drink. Anuses.
Drink. Cassidy got uncomfortable with a joke. Drink.
Drink. Katie got defensive. Cassidy got moralistic. Drink.
Drink. Yeah. Cassidy shouted Katie down and wouldn't let her finish. Drink.
Drink. Squeezle the dog made an appearance. There could be many drinking games, you guys.
Katie had to pee or poop in the middle of a podcast. Drink. That's a perfect good. Segue into That's what we're one. Doing today.
Yes, let's do it. I'm so excited.
So we thought going into our little holiday, by the way, folks, we're going to take a short break for the rest of the holidays. So this
our
episode
first break, I think.
Maybe.
It
this
is.
This will be
since
the last episode of the year, and then we'll start up again in the new year. Look for one very early on in the new year. Don't worry too much. We'll be back very quick.
So that's like 2 weeks off. I'm very proud of us. We're going to be like grown up people taking vacations and shit.
Right. But you know what y'all need to do in order to make sure we come back? We're going to hold the episode hostage. So we need some more Patreon followers. Come on, y'all. We love you. We know you love us.
It's so easy, too.
It's so easy. And it's not that much. But like, if a bunch of you did it, it would really add up. Even if you just did a little trickle, a whole bunch of you would really add up. And then we could actually start to pay Desmond, maybe, you know, do some more merch, do some other things that we need to do to take this thing to the next level. So please
I love it.
Join us.
You guys, we got Cassidy doing promo and asking you for stuff. Progress is real.
Oh, I'm on it. Give us
progress
money.
Is give us the cash. He said it to you. Come on.
Yeah.
All right.
So Patreon. I don't know. All the answers on Patreon. All the answers podcasts on Patreon. You'll find it's easy. Just go to patreon.com and search for us, and you'll find us. No problem.
Easy peasy lemon squeezy.
Super easy.
So what are we doing today?
So our plan, I think, was to we're going to do a year in review, and I think the best way for me to do that, at least, and you can have. I kind of want to just talk about like what we feel like we've learned this year, like what came up this year. And I'm going to do it by reading through like episode descriptions and be like, oh, shit, that was the one
where
we talked about that. And just like, yeah, what has this year been for you? And like, what have you learned about yourself, about life? And what were the big lessons of 2021?
And I'm going to need your, it's like, I'm so glad we're doing it this way, where you're going to read the title of the episode. And because you're the way your brain is, you'll be like, this is the one where we talked about gorillas. And I'll be like, gorillas, did we talk?
Right.
You'll be like, yeah, remember the gorillas, they do this, but only on Tuesdays at 3:33. And I'll be like, what, gorillas, what? And then you'll remind me and it'll be good.
Yeah. And I mean, I'll probably skip through some. I'm just going to be kind of glancing down and be like, oh shit, this one. But the ones that catch my eye, we will, I'll read them out, and if you remember anything from them...
Okay, let's do it.
We can talk about what we learned.
I'm going to pull it up, too, just in case I see something.
I'm going to start with the one from January 9th, which is immediately after January 6th. We recorded it right after January 6th, which was a big year in this country's weird history. That was when the Capitol riots happened. Oof. But my favorite part about this one is has nothing to do with the weird QAnon guy with the horns, but... we talked about that in a later episode, is when Katie ignited a flameless trash can fire in a friend's cabin. When you stank a cabin up so bad because of your food waste or something you almost destroyed a friend's home.
Well, I definitely almost destroyed a friendship. This
right.
bitch was pissed at me you know what I love about an eight? An eight, unlike myself, she's an eight, this friend. Eights will just tell you what is up. Eights will be like, she called me up and was like mid discovering the stench in her guest house. By the way, I was being stalked and terrorized and was afraid for my life.
This is where it gets really kind of worse, frankly.
So I was being stalked. I'm terrified. I'm staying in a friend's guest house and I leave there and I get a call from her and she's like, I don't know what the fuck you did in here, but it is disgusting. What is the smell? Is there a dead animal in here? No filter, no kindness. Just here it is, bitch. And then of course I felt awful because what had happened was there was just some garbage in the garbage can. God, I'm trying to remember what happened.
Yeah, it was like some garbage that got turned all maggoty and weird.
Oh, I know what it was. It was that I couldn't figure out how to turn the heat off. And I had left garbage in the garbage can in a bag. And then the garbage can that you would take the garbage out to wasn't there. So there was nowhere to take the garbage out. Like I couldn't take the trash out when I moved out. And I couldn't figure out how to turn the heat off. So she walks into her guest house. It's a sweat lodge because it's like 100 degrees. And it's a sweat lodge filled with the stench of what smelled like human feces.
So the lesson, the takeaway, what was the lesson you learned from that one? Can we find one?
Yeah.
Your improv moment.
Well, it was, that's a good point. It was, here's what I should have done. I should have called her and said, hey, I can't figure out where the heat is. Instead, what I did was left a note like, hey, I wasn't sure how to turn the heat off because I never thought the house would become so hot that it would. And I also didn't know that the garbage would stink that bad. I just thought like, oh, there's garbage in there. It wasn't like, I didn't put a person's head in the garbage. I just didn't know. But what I should have done is call her immediately and say, I can't figure out how to turn your heat off. What should I do? And also, where's the bigger garbage can? Because I have nowhere to put this garbage. I should have just called her. It's not a sexy lesson, but there you have it.
But communication. The lesson was don't avoid the communication. Go straight to it.
There you go.
There you go. That's a pretty good one. But that was all in the midst of you in one of your bigger life traumas, in my experience, like you were being literally, physically, and emotionally stalked. That was an intense time.
What's interesting
about that?
That
was right around the beginning of the year. It happened before the new year, but it continued on into the new year, right?
Oh, that's a good point. So that's like a year ago exactly.
Mm-hmm.
You want to hear something crazy? Just this past week, while I'm laying here injured from this ankle accident, I got called by the prosecuting attorney on that case because the stalker man, I didn't tell you this. This is a good update for a listener. Stalker man, I became a relentless maniac when this all happened. When I finally contacted the officials, I was like, okay, we're handling this like AIDS style. Long story long, I got a warrant out for his arrest. But what they told me was they couldn't issue the warrant until the next time he did something wrong. So the next time he got a traffic ticket, a speeding ticket, farted in the wind too loud, he was going to jail.
Shit.
But he didn't know that. So I get a call last week, a year later.
Oh my God.
Yeah. From the prosecuting attorney. And he goes, so dude was speeding or whatever. I don't even remember what he said. He's in jail right now, which means his hearing time gets moved up, which means I need to know from you what you would like me to say to the judge about what you want his punishment to be.
Oh, God.
I did not know this is how legal things...
Yeah, because I thought you had kind of, in a sense, like you had resolved it with him in a court appearance.
Well, so yeah, me too, kind of. I thought, okay, we had our hearing. He has a lifelong restraining order. He's never allowed to be near me. I feel safe. I'm done. We're good. But what wasn't complete was the warrant thing and also his hearings for his punishment. Like, does he go to jail? Does he go and get anger management? So because the warrant got enacted, it moved everything up faster. I didn't even know there would be more things, but now I know. Long story long, I have the best prosecutor. Oh my God, this guy is the best. And I keep telling him, thank you for asking me what my opinion is and what you want to say to the judge on my behalf. Like, I didn't even know I would get a call like that.
Yeah.
And he's like, well, thanks for saying that. Mostly when I call people, they're just yelling at me.
He's got a fucking job.
It's a tough job, right? Yeah. Anyway, so I said a bunch of things. He called back again. They had their first hearing. They came back with a counter and said, like, instead of going to jail for a week and then doing 18 months of domestic violence training, and anger management, and he has to pay a lot of thousands of dollars. Yeah. Can we change it to, instead of going to jail for a week, because that was what I said, I think he should go to jail for a little bit up front. Because they were like, we could push for anything you want. And I was like, well, I don't know if I believe in jail. Like, does jail really help people? I think he needs, like, trauma healing and, you know. But the prosecutor was like, I think a little bit of punishment up front couldn't hurt. Anyway, his attorney came back and said, could he do jail at home? Which means he would go to work and then go home for 2 weeks, and he has to pay $1,000 a week during that. And that way he doesn't lose his job. That was his request. And I said, okay, cool. So he went back, the prosecutor, again, and said, can we do that? And I'll hear back from them when the verdict is given. So what it looks like is going to happen is he's going to have 2 weeks of home jail, $2,000, a year and a half of domestic violence training classes that he has to pay for, which is several thousand dollars for a year and a half, several hours a week for a year and a half. Anger management classes that he'll have to pay for. There's a couple thousand dollar price to just having done the crime that they make you pay money. So he's going to pay like 10 grand at least for this. And a lot of time and effort. And
Don't stalk people, I think, is the lesson learned from that one.
Yeah, the way the prosecutor keeps saying it, he's like, this guy needs to learn how to behave around people. And I'm like, fair enough. Thanks for having my back, bro.
Jeez. So that was a time you were going through it because you were in a relationship that you thought was a good relationship for a minute and you were getting what you needed out of it and then you weren't. And then it turned really dark, very intense.
Yeah, it was like I broke it off because I could see that he was kind of a boiling pot of rage. We dated for 4 weeks, by the way.
Yeah.
It was not a long time.
Yeah, but it's still enough to be like you were in it.
Oh, yeah. Like, I'm just saying that I saw quickly, I was proud of myself that I saw it within 4 weeks. Oh, this guy has rage inside and I'm not doing that. And then lo and behold,
he proved you right.
Correct. All right. What else you got?
Well, let's see. We had one where we both just cried a whole bunch, but I don't even know what happened in that one.
Oh, just that wasn't that
goats
the one,
are dicks.
Wasn't that the one where we did a healing for the collective?
No, we did that a little later on, but that happened. That was a thing. We've had some really good. I think this year was, I'll remember that it was at around March of this year that I first started spending time with Denise.
Wait, is this about goats or dicks or a different one?
No, goats or dicks is still February. We're still early. I don't know. That one, without listening to it again, nothing really is said in the description about what actually happened.
Okay.
So it's fine.
So then later you start hanging out with Denise and referring to her as Denise, because I probably did that.
Maybe.
Did I call her Denise? I'm sure.
I think I made up the name because I was like, we need a name.
That isn't Janine,
my cousin's name.
Right.
We both had acid reflux for a little while. We were both experiencing a lot of acid reflux.
Oh, that's right. And you were the one who called it. You said that coughing could be acid reflux. And I was like, no, it isn't. And then my naturopath was like, yes, it is.
So the lesson I took from that whole thing is that I think we make assumptions about our system, and our system is pretty complicated, and things happen in our systems that we sometimes need to inspect more deeply.
That's really good. Yeah, because I never would have thought acid reflux could show up as a cough.
But we did decide that it was connected to your asshole.
It was?
Everything is connected to your asshole. And then we talked to our friend Sophia.
Sophia.
Yeah, and gave her some guidance by talking to some people who had passed on.
Can I say a thing about Sophia?
Yes, please.
Sophia, if you're listening, if you ever listen, if you ever have, Cassidy, an interaction with someone via text or something where, okay, I'll put it this way. Sophia and I had an interaction after that episode that I'm afraid landed for her like, don't contact me. But what I meant was not that at all. In other words, Sophia said something after the episode like, hey, wanna da-ba-da-da? And I was like, oh my God, I'm terrible at responding. What I meant was I'm just bad at responding to texts sometimes. But then I never heard from her again. And I think it might have landed like, I'm blowing you off.
Yeah.
So look, we're back to better communication.
Okay.
Be clearer.
Yeah.
Lesson again.
Walking into it. I would say that the message that I've gotten more than any other this whole year has been, when in doubt, talk about. Like, it just we tell ourselves so many stories and we run a narrative, and sometimes we don't even know we're running a narrative. We're like, well, this is what's happening. And then if there's someone else involved, if we ever check it, they'll be like, no, that's not at all what's happening. Or it is what's happening, and now we can talk about it. But like, it's never the right choice to go, well, this is what's happening, so never mind.
No, 1,000,000%. I mean, and it's funny how like, I'm such a proponent of that and so aware of that. And still there are these places where it'll slip. You know what I mean? We just go a little unconscious and go like, I don't need to call her about the shit garbage. That's silly.
Right. Exactly. Never mind. I'll just let that slide.
Can I ask a small favor? My heater is making me so hot. I've got to turn it off. I apologize. Give me 2 seconds.
I got you.
Wait, let's go turn the heat off. Let's turn it off. I've opened the window during the winter in New York. That's how warm it is in here.
Dang. It is the opposite here. It is so cold in the Bay right now. Like,
really?
Like, my house is failing to protect those of us who live in it. It is so cold.
What?
I have a space heater blowing right next to my legs right now because I'm out in my little space.
Is it hitting the peen?
It's kind of wafting the peen.
Okay.
Wafting. The peen is being wafted.
I hope someone out there took a drink just there.
Yeah.
When I talked about peen. Your peen.
Peen. Especially because you're the only one I know who says peen. just jumping around. Some good stuff this last year. You got way into human design this year. I feel like it was this year mostly. You got more into human design and gene keys and in the first part of the year. And then in the latter part of the year, you got really into tapping.
That's for real.
You have little sections where like a new thing that is very powerful, a new powerful tool comes into your life and you go hard with it.
Or like it's been there, but it activates at in a new way. Like I'll have a new awareness on a new level about human design or about tapping, because tapping's been here the whole time. But for whatever reason, right now it's been really like tap, bitch, tap, and I'm like, okay, god.
Yeah, and you had a chunk where gene keys were what you needed, and human design was what you need. We talked to our friend Rachel Hamilton, the improviser,
who's
also somewhat of an Enneagram expert, and that got us going on all kinds of Enneagram. And
speaking of Rachel, she is, I want to say, a reflector. I think she's a reflector, which is, it's some terribly small percentage of the population is reflectors, like 2%, or I think it's like 0.2%. And what it means is that every single center in the body is undefined, which means they are supposed to wait 30 days to make any decision. And she was talking to us about how like, yeah, that sure does seem to be how things go, that I need a long time to decide stuff, but it doesn't really work well in reality. How am I supposed to work with that? And I'm like, I hear you, girl. I don't know. I'm barely dealing being a manifesting generator over here. I don't know how you do this human life as a reflector.
Well, and we had a brief moment where we ran my chart wrong because I got the time AM instead of PM and freaked you out more than I've ever seen you freaked out. Because we thought I was a
reflector.
You thought I was a reflector for a little while, I thought I was because it told me I was, and then we realized I'd gotten the time of day wrong.
You're like, I mean, the thing about that I forgot about that. I'm so glad you reminded me. If you're a reflector, this is what was fucking me so much. If you're a reflector, your whole life is wrong. Like you're doing
everything wrong.
Everything is programming. Everything is a lie. And I was like, whoa. And I was excited about it on one level because I was like, we're going to change your life. We're going to blow your mind, Cassidy. It's going to be amazing. You're like this. You don't never have to do this again. But then it wasn't true.
It wasn't true at all.
Which is such a relief, because what you actually are matches my experience of you 9,000,000% more.
Right. I'm a manifesting generator as well, right? Yeah. And it turns out like I have like most of my chambers or whatever are open.
Centers.
My centers are open except for like two. Like I've mostly, or what is it?
I have to
look at it again. All I know is that I have like almost the opposite filled and unfilled on my centers as Denise. So it's almost like we're like a, like, oh, you're empty here and you're full here. So boom.
Nice.
Almost exactly. It's kind
of
cool.
Speaking of Denise, how long have you guys been seeing each other now?
Started in, let's say, the beginning of March. So March, April, May, June.
10 months?
10 months, yeah.
You know, what I want to say for Denise, like, this is like applause to Denise from afar. The fact that I haven't heard about Denise very much is so great because it means there's no drama happening, or there's not drama that's like bad enough that you need to talk about it.
Yeah. No, every time something comes up, here's the lesson that my year has given me. And it's a lesson, and it is a gift of the podcast. Let me just remind us of this. Okay. This podcast and who we are in this moment in life, where Denise and I came to the right moment in life. We were not right for each other until that moment, you know?
Yeah, I hear that.
Like,
yeah.
The journeys had not crystallized. But when we did come into each other's lives, it was so right and so exactly smart. Every time something comes up, so this is the communication thing, like, things get scrappy sometimes, but they last 2 hours.
Huh.
Those scrappy things, because they intensify, we go hard into it, and they move through.
Oh.
And like, it's super interesting because this is also the example of how everybody has their own way of being, you know, like there's no right mode. Like, I really operate through my brain, Katie, and you know that. And my mind is the most powerful tool I have. But it is a powerful tool. And it's not like, there's no judgment on that. When I realized that, it took me a while to be like, I'm all in my head.
Right.
And that's sometimes not to be desired. I want to get into my body, and I still do. But sure. Also, my fucking brain is powerful as shit.
Fuck yeah.
And
we need it.
Denise is all body.
See, there it is. Boom.
Can't think it through. It doesn't think. I will say words and words and words and words, and they kind of get in, and they're like, uh-huh, I hear what you're saying. I hear what you're saying. Still feeling super fucking something.
Yep.
I need to go for a walk.
Yeah.
Now that you've started the process with this, with words, you've triggered this. Now I need to go, because that's where she operates, is in her body.
Yeah.
And then she comes back an hour later. She's like, I'm good.
Oh.
I like spiritually shit my britches. I'm feeling great.
Wow. She's just on a walk shitting on the sidewalk.
Pretty much. Yeah. Emotional, like literal, she'll describe like, I thought something came out of me.
Wow.
And then like checked. Nope. Nothing but did.
You know what I want to say too? Shout out to Denise and Denise's sister. Because Denise's sister is a bad motherfucker.
All right.
I know Denise's sister through, we might some healing work through Denise. And motherfucker is a badass. Like, she can receive divine light. We'll just say that.
Awesome.
And also, like, doing cool shit in the world. Cool, creative, artsy shit. Those women who came out of those people's bodies. You go, Denise's family.
Yeah. They're amazing. They're amazing ladies. So yeah, that's a gift of the podcast. That, my point being, we met because of the podcast.
Oh, that's
right. The podcast is what taught us, both of us, that we were needing to meet. You know what I mean? So it was like, it was through the process and the work that we've done. So partially the work that I've done on the podcast for myself brought me to the right place.
My mind is blown right now.
The podcast was also a healing tool for Denise, and it is the pivot point between us meeting each other.
No, I can't even. I totally forgot that. And also, if we can, Denise came to a class and had some. I watched Denise go through some big shifts in that class.
Yeah.
So more props to Denise. Even more props. Like, not could have listened and been like, I get it, and moved along. But no, showed up and went, let's go deeper, homie, and fucking like ass to the fire.
Went hard.
Deeper. Yes. Yeah.
So this is what this year has been. It's been a super fucking powerful year.
Denise is what we're saying.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah,
what else you got?
I mean, yeah, for me, for sure. Let's see. Let me go back to the thing. And we haven't even actually gotten to the time when we met. I just was thinking about that because of things we were talking about.
Well, you should remind the podcast listeners. Will you tell the brief story of how you...
The short story, I've said it several times and I'll say it again. The short version is she was listening. She was a follower of you, sort of your content, your general content as a teacher. And then we started the podcast and she was like, oh, listen to that. And then a little while into that, she was like, who's this dude? I don't even like this guy. This guy's like being emotionally open and raw and learning and spiritually moving and emotionally intelligent. What's going on? Who's that? I like him. Didn't Google me. Didn't go, who's this guy? Is he hot? She just says, that's not who she is. I totally would right away be like, is he hot? But she's
what
different.
What did she do instead?
She just kind of feels what she's feeling.
Contacted you?
Well, eventually. And then months later, like she got crushed. She crushed on me at one point. And then months later, identified that we had a friend in common.
Huh.
And then months later after that, that friend let me know that her friend had a crush on me. And then I was like, tell her to reach out. And so then she did. And then that was it.
Wow.
And then we went on a bunch of masked and distanced walks like a Bronte novel. very polite and very well behaved until we weren't.
Okay. Who touched whose peen first?
I will tell you the truth. There was a, we went on a walk. It was like our third or fourth like walk date, big hike. And we were like, we were holding hands at that point. But then like we got back to the parking lot and we're going to get in our cars. And we're like, and this is still when like people were very like contactual, even touch people. I don't even know. So like hugging was a big deal at that moment for these two people who hadn't merged their bubbles, as it were. And we hugged and it was like, we felt this like intense, like, oh, yeah. So it was almost like we touched each other's peens that moment. That was the moment that we touched each other's peens, even though we totally didn't.
Because
we
were
fully clothed. With the hug, we like held each other. We're like, oh,
man.
Oh, this is like, this is not one of those. This is a rare connective, you know, we aren't building this connection. This connection is here.
Mm. Yeah. That's great.
So that was cool.
But there's no peens in that story. When were the peens?
When we, I mean, you can't really say who touched who's first because you kind of do it simultaneously, generally.
Oh, I'm being silly. Tell us the story of how sexy time happened.
We went on a trip together. We planned to like merge our households, basically.
Right.
You know, she has a husband and he has partners. So like there's like other people to take into consideration when you are.
I forgot about that.
When you are negotiating, you know, this is, you know, before anybody got the shot. This is still right before that. And then we went on a trip together. We planned a trip. We like, we're going away.
That,
so the very really, first time.
Wait. I'm sorry. I have to interrupt you. You said that really fast. And I feel like we haven't delved a ton into you being with people that are with people. So I just want to say, let's just land on it. That this is like I don't want to use the word polyamory. Should we use that word?
It's the right word in this case. Because there's definitely like a web of relationship occurring.
Okay, great. I'm just naming it because her husband,
Denise's husband also has partners.
Right.
A couple of partners as well as her. And, you know, but he and I are friends. Like everybody knows each other. It's what we call kitchen table poly, which means everybody at least meets.
Wow.
Everyone doesn't have to love each other or anything, but you know, it's everyone knows of each other's existence. And like, I'm good friends with one of his partners. I really like this person.
I need
they
to
are,
acknowledge.
They are super cool.
I just took a drink of alcohol when you said kitchen table poly. I just had to drink alcohol when you said that. This is a lot.
Exhausting.
It's a lot. I give you guys a lot of credit.
Yeah, it seems to be the most synced up version of this that I've been able to create.
Amazing.
Like, I've been with people where that balance was off and didn't quite.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, I'm kind of okay with your unique story, but I would rather it be this way or this way.
Right.
Whereas she and I are very.
Wow.
Solid.
I just want to acknowledge you too for the fact that like, a different person might have given up on the entire institution of poly because of by the time you're how old are you?
52.
Yeah. By the time you've tried this a long time and you keep running into weird mismatch, like you didn't give up on it. It works for you. It's a real thing for you.
Yeah.
I just really acknowledge you for that. Cheers. You're having a drink. I'm having a drink. Cheers. Yeah. No, that's, I feel like that's perseverant. I feel like it's.
There it is. I can't get the clink right.
Yeah,
thank you.
It's perseverant. It's like faith. It's a kind of faith. You're like, well, this is what is for me. So I have faith in that.
Yeah.
Anyway.
It works great. And I really appreciate it. So that is, yes, I did push past it. anyway, just to bring it all wrapped up in a nice little bow, we then went on a little Airbnb trip together. And so the first time peens were touched.
Where were you?
Like Nevada City, I think.
Cute.
We had a cute little Airbnb. We just, yeah, just it was a great weekend. Beans.
You
just
did a bunch of
beans. A lot of peen touching. Little sword fights.
Sword fighting.
It was all on. I'm so sorry. Mom, you don't need to listen to this episode. Too late.
That's good. Okay. What else you got?
All right. So
that's good stuff.
That was good stuff. Moving
on. It's the year of Denise, everybody. It reminds me of an episode of The New Girl, a show for which or about which or of which I've watched every episode probably 16 times.
Which one?
The New Girl.
Oh, yeah.
And there's an episode where Zooey Deschanel, there's a season where she's pregnant, like maybe two seasons where she's pregnant. And there's an episode where she's trying to convince, she's like so pregnant in this episode, and they're putting like flowers in front of her, and she's always standing, she's always like holding a bucket so you can't see the pregnant belly. And this is not going to pay off, but I'm doing it anyway. She keeps singing to them annoyingly that this is the year of us. She keeps wanting to be like, you guys, this is the year of us. And the bit is that she can't sing well, but she's like committing to these runs. And it goes through my head all the time. Anyone says it's the year of whatever, I in my head hear Zooey Deschanel.
It's the year. Do you watch The Good Place? I feel like that would be one.
Twice.
All the way through.
All the way through. But I need to watch it again. That's how well written, dense, and deep it is.
Yeah. How much of like sort of structural, how well does it actually hit spiritual points structurally?
Structurally?
Or is it pure silly fantasy? You know what I mean? Like, Does it actually line up with some of what you know or feel about other worlds and the framework?
They're more philosophical than spiritual. So they...
That's true.
...explore deep Kantian and, like, you know, all the philosophical points of view on that show. They're trying to look intellectually at the nature of consciousness. And I look at it energetically and through awareness rather than the mind. So it's a very mental exercise, that show. One that I enjoy deeply, but I would have to watch it five more times to really hear everything they say. Because it's so densely philosophical.
So much happens. Yeah.
It's Hegel and it's Kant and it's fucking Heidegger and it's people I've never heard of. And shit that I love listening to and digging into, but... is much more ethical and moralistic and philosophical than, say, spiritual.
An important episode happened in the one called A Girthy Surprise.
Sexy.
That one was where we talked about how long people poop for and is that gender specific? And we found out that it wasn't. We thought it was, but it turned out not to be. Like,
okay, shout out to Dina Connor Owens in Davis, California, who is a girlfriend of mine who has two children and to this day will send me pictures of her feces.
Her own?
Yeah, because she shits unbelievably huge logs that like, I have to see them.
Everybody drink.
Because I can't believe it's science. It's possible on Earth. I never shit huge logs that curl around the inside of the toilet. Do you?
Like very rarely. I'm much looser than that.
And she's a woman person.
Yeah. And she must take a little while to do that. Like, it can't just happen in a quick heartbeat. And I mean, also, you are willing to poop anywhere and any time.
Mm.
And I am not. I want to be like, I want to go home before I do it.
I love Girthy Surprise as the title so much.
I know. You assume it's going to be about peen, but it's not.
Ugh.
But then it asks, what is Katie's trip accomplishing? This was your April trip.
Which one?
Probably your trip. Was it your trip to New York to find the portal, maybe? Would that have been in April?
I'm wondering, too, if Girthy Surprise was activated the topic. Because remember, I went on my first date with Stalker.
Because you pooped in a... No, because that was... Yes. That had been months prior.
Okay. But let's just review. So I drive up to Telluride to go to this hot springs with him, which, to be fair, was a pretty fun date, although he talked about himself the whole time and I should have known. And I did know, but I ignored it. Note to self, never ignore your awareness. Da, da, da. On the way up, I had to shit so bad that I pulled off the road and it was snowing and I shat in the snow at a It was like a bathroom rest stop.
It was a rest stop, but they were locked up. And they had shit outside the rest
yep,
stop.
I did. And it was so much shit that it was like not burying itself in the snow. It was just on top of the snow. By the way, that was the first time I left Squeezel, the Doge, alone with friends so I could go on a date with a stalker. End of story.
God, that's terrible.
Okay, so Girthy's a prize, and then the next one you were looking at was, oh, my trip to somewhere.
I think it might have been your trip to, maybe it was your trip to Harlem to look at the portal.
The Upper East Side, 72nd.
Yeah.
Not quite Harlem, but fair enough. Huh, in what month? April?
April? Maybe not. Sometimes the descriptions don't remind us. We'll move on.
Because there are so many trips I took when I lived there. I mean, Newman Manfredson and I went to Moab, we went to Albuquerque, we went to Abiquiu, we went so many places. By the way, podcast listeners, Newman Manfredson and I are going to hang out over Christmas. He is coming.
Did he make it back from Egypt?
Okay, thank you for asking. Oh my God.
This is the story we might have to sideline because this is a review of the year, the trip Katie did not take.
It's the year of Egypt. Okay. Remember, podcast listeners, when I was going to go to Egypt and I was talking about it and I was inviting you to come and then I wasn't anymore? That's because psychically I started to get like, wait a minute, there's a weird energy here. I think they're going to get stuck there. There's going to be sicknesses. I was seeing people coughing on this boat. I just was like, nope. And also I was starting to like get some real healing activated for myself. And I was like, I don't have it in me to like go through difficult travel stuff while also going through difficult inner reality stuff. So I pulled out of the trip, and long story, very, very long, but I'll do a short version. 60% of the people on that trip got COVID. One of the co-leaders tried to get something like melatonin in Egypt, but it turned out to be like sleeping pills that were very strong. Took four of them when you're supposed to take like half of one. Would not be aroused on the plane. Like they thought he was dead. They had to take him off the plane, wheel him to a hospital, revive him. People left the trip early. A bunch of people who went on the trip, like flew back to America 4 or 5 days early because they were like, cool, my roommate has COVID and everybody here is sick and this is fucked, I'm out. And just left the trip, never fly. Thank God, didn't get any, he probably didn't get COVID. I have a whole story. Left a few days early, flew back, got sick on the way home, got home, had bad jet lag, like didn't sleep for like 4 days in a row or something. Got home, super exhausted, thought like, okay, I'm just drained. This is time change, it's travel. Then was like shitting water out of his asshole, drink your drink, for days and days, called me, we did a healing session over Zoom. This was just a couple weeks ago or a few days ago. And I got that he got a strain of COVID. He thinks he got the West Nile virus, neither of which are good. He's been like taking antibiotics and all kinds of different shit. And like his asshole is starting to behave well again. And he's coming out of it now. But it was a difficult journey. And I'm very glad I didn't go, and I'm very glad all my friends are okay, and I'm sad that they had a rough time, but knowing what I know about sickness, I mean, I know it was all for a reason, but it was not an easy reason. So he's okay, but anyway, all of that is like, he's doing better, and I'm gonna get to see him in a couple weeks here. I was supposed to drive to go see my dad in Albuquerque, New Mexico, but my ankle is too injured, and I've realized I can't. I know.
You can't drive, yeah.
No, not for 3.5 days.
Is it your right ankle?
It's my left ankle.
So not as important for driving, but still.
Except that here's the weird thing. My car, the way it is on the floor, the position my left foot has to be in is like the most painful position for the injury I have. Ugh. And I can't put it anywhere else. It's a nightmare. So Newman Manfredson is coming out to Philadelphia or near Philadelphia to see his family. So I'm going to drive 2.5 hours, very manageable amount of time, see him, see his family, do some cuddling, do some hugging, have some nice hang time. Go visit a new friend over in West Virginia that I have. See my other friend. I'm going to have like a little local holiday fun time with people I love. And yes, there will be peens.
I was going to ask if there was peen involved.
Yeah, there'll be peens.
Denise is from Philly.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So don't you think that should be, if they make a movie of my life, it should be called There Will Be Peens.
There will be peens. And Daniel Day-Lewis will be in the court. I need your peen.
Oh, Daniel Day-Lewis. Speaking of method actors, Did you hear that Lady Gaga went method for House of Gucci?
No, what did she do?
She like was this character on and off screen her whole life. I know, it's so lame. I love her so much that it made me sad to hear that story.
Like, oh, fuck that. That's abuse to everybody else. Totes. Maybe it wasn't, but it probably she was.
And then she keeps talking in these interviews about how important it was for her to have her excellent accent and how all these Italians were like applauding her accent. And a girlfriend of mine called me and was like, have you seen House of Gucci yet? Lady Gaga's accent is terrible. And I was like, oh no, she's so proud of it. And this is like an actor I really respect who like knows things.
Yeah.
Anyway, wah, wah. I can't wait to see it. I want to see it.
I do
still
not.
Love you,
I have
Gaga.
Zero desire really? To see a movie called House of Gucci. That just interests me zero.
America, money, capitalism.
We had an episode called I Fart Huckabees, which just makes me happy.
So funny. We are funny.
Yeah. And shout out, most of these are titled by Desmond.
Desmond.
And he gets big props for those.
That is hilarious. What was that about, I Fart Huckabees?
Well, first off, you told your story about your turbulence party where you had to end up canceling the rest of your plane and taking trains and cars and you met a guy, your Uber driver, who you said the prayer with. He was like, what? You know that prayer?
And I remember that. He was Muslim, and he was like, I said the Fatiha, and he lost his fucking mind. This white lady knows the Fatiha, lost his mind.
Yeah. And the Fatiha is what was sang for you recently outside your car when you injured your ankle.
See? It's all about the Fatiha.
It's all coming back to me now.
Maybe if I have a child, I'll name it Fatiha. Wait a minute. But why I Fart Huckabees? Like what? What
happened? I think we also talked about I Heart Huckabees and how you knew the screenwriter for that.
I had the sex with the screenwriter.
The sex with the screenwriter I Heart Huckabees.
Let's be classy. I dated in high school for a long time.
You touched the peen.
And was dear friends with and touched the peen many times.
Drink.
And drank with the I Heart Huckabees main head writer.
And just so we know that a lot of our people are probably also sober or in recovery. When we say drink, we are asking you to drink anything that feels celebratory to you.
Sparkling water.
Sparkling water, or you
tea.
Know, a dash of juice. I don't care.
Absinthe.
You do
whatever you want. Whatever you want.
Yes. And that's when you were visiting. You did this. You recorded this one from Rami's living room, and they were in the background, sitting on their couch with a mask on, because you guys were still being distant to each other because we were still in the middle of it.
Oh yeah.
And we received a parallel reading. Me and Rami did. That was fun.
Oh, that's right.
And we kind of acknowledged there was something came up in that one that just acknowledged that the truth of our relationship was like, yeah, you guys are weird and you do it different and you are here because you each needed to teach each other something.
Oh, that's cool.
And you are still teaching each other something. So it was like
that's
a really
cool.
Nice acknowledgement of the uniqueness of our connection.
Dynamic. Do you know that like pretty much after every episode, I get a download from Rami about like, okay, so I listened to the podcast. Here's what I think. This thing you said is a little crazy. And when Cassidy got into this, I was really glad that you said that. But the two of you missed this whole point entirely. And I'm always like, okay, all right,
yeah,
thank you.
They listen, you know, they're one of our best listeners.
Fuck yeah. Listening close too, which I appreciate.
Yeah, listening hard. We had our friend Allison on there with the baby.
Oh yeah, the mama.
The bebe. Takes a village, parts work. We talk about parts work.
Allison, I remember, was someone who I went from like, hey, I'm Katie Rubin to like, hello, I'm Katie Rubin.
Right.
Because I was like meeting her energy and it was very
she is that. She is a let us connect, but in here.
Yeah, exactly. Very deep. Very
but also small. She is someone who makes the
milkshakes, coffee shop.
She makes the
ass look good in them jeans.
DJ. Board? The Ouija board.
Oh, she's the one with the Ouija board.
That just works, like direct, non-demonic, just hey, I have a, and every time she and other people, I believe Rami and some other friends of ours who do it together, whenever they do it, it's just like,
ping, 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 ping.
Here's words. These are the exact words that are being written, it's like ghostwriting is happening.
Yeah, Rami's told me, and I keep forgetting that it's Allison who is the one that is the vessel of the Ouija. So interesting. Very cool. And Rami hangs with that baby a lot, right? Allison's baby?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Whenever they can.
Yeah.
Then we published the lost episode called E.T. Penises.
What's that about again?
That was the one where your friend who sees aliens came on.
Peter.
Yeah.
Okay.
And we just didn't publish some of it. And then we finally were able to salvage some of it, and then we published the episode because he had some crazy wild stories about how he interacts with.
He has some of the coolest stories I've ever heard about alien beings in human bodies and reptilians and stuff.
Yes.
Crazy stuff. If you don't remember Peter's story, I would recommend listening to ET Penises, because the story of his dad working in the underground.
It's like a scene from the fucking X-Files, like unreal. Straight out of the X-Files. Like,
so unreal.
Just written like it was. We had one called Compersion, where we learned about compersion, which is the act of getting joy or pleasure from another person's pleasure or joy.
Right.
Specifically in the non-monogamous community, when your partner is getting laid and you're like, good for you, and it feels good, as opposed to just high-fiving them blindly.
How do I get more compersion in me?
You parse out the part of you that is diminished by other people's actions, as opposed to what we think is diminishment. This is what I think. If you're dating someone and they love you and it feels good,
yeah.
And then they look over and they go, that person is beautiful.
Yeah.
Does that diminish you?
No.
Right.
But I don't mind that.
Right. Some people get reactive to that because they think, oh, you are taking away from me.
Sure.
By loving that or by having that opinion.
Right.
And I think sometimes if people are able to break those pieces apart and they go, and maybe it might be true that sometimes a partner going, hey, that person's hot, is a diminishment of you because they're coming from a place of like, that person's hot and I'm doing it to punish you. That's different. But like knowing that you love this person and they're getting something, they're getting pleasure. I mean, you feel happy. You had a little compersion for me. It's not usually applied in that way, but you had compersion for me when we were just talking about Denise, right? You were like, oh, I'm so happy for my friend. It feels so good to hear about your heart.
To have it happen, like, I'd like to be more poly. I'd like to be like, go ahead, bone that lady. I don't care. You like putting your dick in her. Do it.
Yeah.
And because in theory, I'm all about it. But when the hearts merge, it's a whole different animal.
Yeah. I don't know how to. I
want
to
also figure
advice.
Out how to conjugate that verb. I want to compurge.
I want to comperse. Compare. Nope.
Compurgify.
That's
more.
When we first talked about quantum entanglement and that you were doing quantum entanglement theory stuff.
Okay.
And then you drove back into the womb.
So much womb.
Oh, right. You were doing that drive. And then, but everywhere you drove, like, had the name of it, like, you pulled off and it was like the name of a place from your childhood or something. I'm trying to remember.
Oh, okay. You want to hear something crazy? Right this second, I got an email that just my phone is on like a dummy and it lit up and it's from a client, the client that I did a session with when I pulled off the road right there.
What?
I pulled off the road because I had a client session.
Happened at that pull off? Remind us.
I can't remember. There was something written on the, I was like, I'll pull off here because the something is here. There was something written on a billboard. It was all kinds of synchronistic, right?
Right. And it all like took you back to like your womb ultimately, to like somehow you were born.
Oh, wait a minute. Maybe you're talking about the trip I took where, oh God, that was so profound.
Oh my God.
When I led the Christlight retreat in Massachusetts, I drove back to Colorado and was on acid. I was on spiritual acid the whole time because I was walked backwards in time through my entire life by street signs. Do you remember this?
Yeah,
it was like this. Kinda. It was like
that's right.
It was
that's
like Brooklyn, and I'm like, Brooklyn. I used to live there, and then the next sign would be like Miami, and I'd be like, well, and then I went to Miami right after. It's true. I went back to Miami. Then the next thing was like Brian Dast University, who was my boyfriend in Miami when I went back after Brooklyn, and it was like so specific and creepy, and it happened the entire way to like Cleveland, Ohio, or something crazy. And that client on the different trip, which I can't remember the woo-woo shit that happened on that other trip, but here she is emailing me as we're talking about that trip.
Perfect. Synchronicity. And then we had the one where we were doing a reading. We were doing a little Sophia Gaia download. And I could not shake, for whatever reason, the three concepts of Walter Matthau, Stingray, and Apple. And I was just saying, Walter Matthau, Stingray, Apple.
Wait, this was during a what?
It was during a reading, and it like during the meditation, like I got something jarred loose in me. And I think we just decided that I was unleashing a lot of stuck concepts. So everything was just sort of shaking out of me. And as a result of it, there was a lot of like random gobbledygook, but I was very clearly was like, Walter Matthau, Stingray, Apple.
I do remember that now. That is so funny. You know, when you think about it, this is such a good thing to do, you guys, like review your year like this. It's like, I'm so grateful we get to look at these titles and look at this because it's like, holy shit, we have done a lot in a year. A lot.
We talked to Dr. Nicola. In an episode called Equanimy, we talked about gene keys, psychosynthesis, parts work, naturopathic education, homeostasis, and guess what? We also talked about poop.
Of course.
You crapped a mandala.
What? I don't remember that.
And that is not what offends Dad, you crapping a mandala.
I crapped a
Sometimes
mandala?
Sometimes I don't understand our descriptions.
Wait, do you mean that I defecated and it looked like the shape of a mandala?
That's what it says in the descriptors.
Desmond, give me a call. What the fuck was that about?
What the hell? Sometimes we don't know. All right. I'm just going to keep going until something lands that we remember or feels good or feels exciting to talk about. How many syllables does the word that I'm going to spell contain? B-R-E-W-E-R-Y.
Brewery. I think I say brewery. It with two, but I think it probably technically has three.
Right. And we had a little bit of a
debate
discussion about that. Yeah. And I was wondering if I was becoming a four because I was getting it was during a period, a little bit of a shoegazer time for me, apparently. Maybe I was getting real, real like, boy, my feelings are unique and special.
That is so funny you said that, Cassidy, because I was telling Rami, this past weekend I did a Enneagram workshop. I did a full day long workshop on just the heart types. So we talked about you, twos, threes, and fours.
Okay.
And in the last few weeks, I've been reading a bunch of Enneagram stuff, and I've been like, oh my God, I get the four. I get them now. Like I had, Rami and I joke a lot about, I have had a lot of judgment of fours, and I've realized I've known a lot of narcissistic fours. So there's a four, and then there's, if you add narcissism and you got a problem. You know?
Yeah. Same with twos. Same with
three. With any fucking buddy. But for whatever reason, I've just known a lot of narcissistic fours. So then parsing out that it's like, oh, wait, what if you're just... And then I found my inner four, like in the last 3 weeks. And then I did the workshop and I was like, I love the fours. I understand them. I get it now. I still have issues with some twos, though.
We all do.
Who doesn't?
Well, yeah. And everyone wants to be a seven. But is the four on the like eight path?
No.
It's not even connected to your...
No, 2, 3, 4, the heart one.
No, but the path thing being like the...
The
travel.
It's not.
The directions of travel when you get integrated.
I go up
or...
toward a 2 and down toward a 5.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So you just are feeling some force. Well, and that's the other thing I've heard is that like the more work you do, the more you're actually trying to be all of them.
Exactly. Which is why I think the 9 is really ahead of the game in a lot of ways.
Because they've already obliterated themselves to all of the rest of them.
Yeah. You know what's so funny? God, how many 9s I have in my life. Jesus, God in heaven, all the 9s. And I'm just like, their adaptability is so admirable and so aggravating. Like to me as an 8, they're just like, whatever. Like Alfred is a perfect example. He'll just literally say no words ever. Because if any words you say, then you're not adapting. And I'll be like, I need you to tell me how you feel now. And he's like, well, what do you need? And I'm like, no.
How do you need me to feel?
No, what do you
how
feel?
How do you need me to feel?
I can't.
Oh, yeah.
I want to push him off a cliff. Eric was a 9. A lot of 9s.
I was a 3 with the unhealthy 9 tendencies of that.
Oh, really?
I am a 3. And I have had those 9, the unhealthy 9 tendencies.
Is that your...
I think that is the direction of disintegration for me.
Oh, interesting.
Is to 9. I think that's the direction it goes. Doesn't matter. I've also heard that the disintegration integration thing isn't necessarily that valid. It's just like you go there sometimes, you go there sometimes.
Totes.
But for sure. Then we talked about bathroom kink, and I felt like you were being shamey because you reacted so strongly to someone asking something of you, and you were like, no, what a weirdo. And I was like, it's not that weird.
Oh, man.
But then I was like, but if he'd said poop, I would have thought that was really weird. So, you know, we all have our lines.
I don't need any fecal play. Don't need it.
Nope. And then we can send everybody back to episode 29, which is long ago with Molina and Molina Williams, Don't Ring Out Your Kinks. By the way, go listen to Mo's podcast. So good. So, I don't know if you've listened to any of it, but she is just dropping deep knowledge that comes from a trauma and experience and framework and stories of how to navigate the world that are just, it is called All That and Mo. Go find that podcast. In addition to ours, don't leave our podcast to go to hers, but like add. So good.
Can't wait.
So good. And I've only listened to a few.
Don't be silly. Don't be dumb. Like, be smart about it. Don't be an idiot.
Oh, yeah. And that's where you taught me about the I want, I wish, I feel, which I haven't used as much as I could, but I have used and has helped me.
Can you tell the listener what you're...
Yeah. So the tool, I was having a lot of trouble sleeping.
Oh, right.
Still am. Still not doing great, but it's on and off. But Katie gave me a tool, or the record keepers might have given me this tool. I'm not sure which. It was sort of a combo. And it was basically to actually, in a journal, either on paper or audio journal, but to speak out loud or write out loud from this list, I want, and do all the I want. I want, I want, I want, I want, I want. I wish, I wish, I wish, I wish, I wish, I wish. I need, I need, I need, I need, I need, I need. I feel, I feel, I feel, I feel, I feel, I feel. And I forget what the rest
there's
of them
a bunch.
Were.
It's like, I hate, I.
Yeah, and then there's yeah. I hate.
Yeah. I won't.
I desire.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think I won't was on there, but maybe it should.
Well, this is a longer list.
Yeah, and
there's a longer version of that list.
And I must say that when I haven't mostly used it like in the evening before going to sleep, but sometimes in the middle of the night, if I'm having trouble sleeping, like, I'll wake up and then I'll like, I can't go back to sleep. Then I'll do it. And that'll definitely help. And it'll solve the rest of the night. But I'm still pretty impatient with it. So I don't do it as much as I should. But that's just what it is. Well, hey, doc, my shoulder's not getting better. Well, what have you done for it? Nothing. That's the joke. And here we go. Your anus opposition.
What?
Weird. It's because it was Uranus oh. opposition time.
Oh, my Uranus opposition moment. That was a big moment.
Yeah. And Faith Shearing, Amy Siriporn.
Listen, you guys have to look into when your Uranus opposition is. It's around when you're 44, 45. It's a big shift in life. It's what normal people call midlife crisis. But if you're aware of yourself and your tendencies and your needs and desires, when your Uranus opposition hits, you can think of it as like a return, a reminder that the universe gives of like, who are you really and what are you here to do? And all the ways you've maybe veered off your path, you get sort of redirected back onto your path. Uranus opposition. You're welcome.
Uranus opposition. And is Amy your human design person?
Yes, Amy Siriporn, right. Best human design reader in the world. Amy Siriporn, Siriporn at gmail.com. So worth the hour you'll spend with her. I highly recommend Amy.
And we didn't even go on the records that time. We just talked about stuff. And yeah, I think the takeaway from that is go get your human design done by Amy.
Big time.
Grilled cheesecake, bubblegum steak, Connecticut chest of drawers, right down the middle. I don't know what any of these words are. We talked about food in that one. Your friend Maggie, who we talked a lot about food and managing food issues.
Yeah, Maggie's got like the most bubbly energy in the history of time. She makes earrings and is a body consciousness coach, which is like my favorite combo of things. I have two pairs of her earrings that she made with her hands that I wear all the time, and I just adore them. Her name is Maggie Emerson. Find her on Facebook.
Cool. Just jumping through some. Obviously, we talked about check your narrative, which is something we talked about already once on this episode called Lizard Goo. Don't even know what it means. Checking your narrative. Obviously, we know what that is. Katie, tell us what that means.
Oh,
what do you think?
I mean, I think we're talking about like whatever narrative you have running in your head. It's like, be aware of what it is so you don't buy into it. Is that what we're talking about? Which, by the way, reminds me of a thing I was thinking about you with. I was listening to a year in review of my podcast that I listen to, Armchair Expert, Doc Shepherd. Very faithful armchairy right here. And they were replaying an episode or a section of an episode, I think with Adam Grant. And he talks about this concept. It made me think of you. That people, like in their... how do I say, like communication style default modes go to one of three places: prosecutor, politician, preacher. And anytime you're in prosecutor, politician, or preacher, you can sort of assume that necessarily you're not open. You're doing a thing probably unconsciously from a default mode, or you're doing something from your persona as opposed to like from your essence. So prosecutor is when you're, I mean, obviously, right? You're like, prosecuting. You're it's not so preacher is like I know what's true and I'm preaching about it and I've already decided and nothing's going to shake me. Politician is when you're adapting to what people want you to say so that they like you and making sure you seem a certain way, image, the image centricness of the three potentially. And then prosecutor is where you're how do I describe a prosecutor? It's like you're arguing a point. I'm prosecuting you. How would you say that?
Well, yeah. And you're arguing a point to because you must, regardless of what you actually believe necessarily, you're arguing from that point of view without exception.
Right. Like you must win.
Like a prosecutor is never going to concede a point because he needs to prosecute the
But there's like,
the case.
So there's an element too, right, of like cross-examination. Like it's got to be against.
Yeah.
Prosecutor has to be against.
Well, I feel like when we have gotten into things and I'm getting moralistic, I'm a combination of preacher and prosecutor in those times.
Right.
Sometimes.
Right.
And it's not the best. Yeah.
Yeah. No.
It's not my best self.
We all have our things. And I can, yeah, I mean, I preach all the time.
Yeah.
Like he asks people in his book to think about what's your main default, one of those three, and to just catch yourself when you go to prosecutor, preacher, or politician and just notice. You're welcome, listeners. You're welcome. Cassidy's looking for another episode to talk about.
Yeah. I'm looking at, you did a solo one where you just did a prayer or you just did a
healing,
a channel, a healing that was needed.
And I did that in Shay Troja's Airbnb in the Catskills. Go to.
And then we talked to Shay later.
Peaks Brook Cabin on Airbnb. Check it out.
So cool. Saw the pictures.
Very cool.
Then we. You looked at Baltimore as a possible place, maybe, that you're thinking about.
Well, Baltimore.
Baltimore got really powerful for you.
It was more like I had an incredible experience with a broken portal that in a client session, she and I like rebuilt this portal. Because if you remember, the magic on that one was I was in Baltimore in a hotel doing a session with a client who I only have ever met remotely, who revealed to me in the session she was in Baltimore.
Right.
And I had known that in the past, but forgotten it till that moment. And then we fixed a portal. No big deal.
We talked to the guy from Mystic Lasagna.
Oh, yeah. Alex.
Alex. And the reading for you was amazing. The panel, the three panels was
right.
Garfield saying, what was
it? It was very
doing?
Zen, I remember.
It was super zen. It was just like, and it had to do with like, it was like the three panels were like, ended up being like patience, perseverance, and transcendence. Then it was just like, and that was exactly what you had been told that you had to do.
Well, patience and perseverance is my Sufi name.
Right.
Sabira translates to that.
Right. And then the third part of that then becomes transcendence. Ugh. As if you can do it long enough.
And we should shout them
achieve.
Out. What's their podcast called? It's like
The Mystic Lasagna.
Oh, right. And it's,
Mystic Lasagna.
It's Garfield comic strips as an oracle to the universe.
Yeah. And it super worked with Katie. That's all I'm saying.
So worked.
Yeah, that's the nice thing about oracles is I think oracles, like, you know, I know people who do the cowrie shells. I know you do. Other people do the.
Yeah.
Runes,
Denise
pulls cards all the time. And it's just a way of like focusing your interpretation, your interpretive psychic.
It gives words
abilities.
And frameworks to what you might know
yeah.
into it. It gives words or structures
yeah.
to channeled awareness.
Our friend Aaron McIntyre. Who was an actor who was moving to LA and also turned out to be super woo-woo. And I had no idea. I'd known him forever as a guy who I did karaoke with.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, 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 yeah.
Had a great time. Talked about his sister, about his daughter and like fatherly advice and his connection to his daughter.
That was sweet.
And then just the other day I was watching. So I had a very, very brief, barely see it appearance on the new Nash Bridges movie that just came out.
Nice.
I was, you know, pushing a gurney with a dead body on it. And if you like blinked, you're like, oh, that's me. And then I watched the whole movie, God knows why, and got to the end. And I was like, that guy, I didn't quite recognize him. And then I saw his name in the credits and he was like he had an actual part with like lines and stuff. He was like an NSA agent. It was our buddy.
That's so fun.
It was really sweet. Sent him a text. He sounds like he's doing good and shooting movies and making it work.
Wow.
You know?
Good for
him.
So
there's an example of moving, you know, mid late 50s.
Fuck yeah.
Back to LA and restarting or starting maybe just starting a film career.
Fucking doing it. And we can say Rami. Shout out to Rami for leaving the bay in their 40s and like fucking murdering it.
Murdering it. Just killing the game. Talked to Chris Hayden from Kindred Spirits and Enneagram podcast. He's the priest. Oh, not priest. But we talked about the difference between preacher, priest, and minister.
Right. Is this in the episode with Reverend Georgia or with the...
No, he is a...
Oh, that guy.
Methodist.
The Christian
Methodist
guy.
Minister.
Yes. Yeah. Well, say his name again. Chris...
Chris Hayden.
Hayden.
And he has an Enneagram podcast.
He's an Enneagram
But we hardly
guy.
Talked about the Enneagram with him, which was funny. I thought we were going to, and then we didn't.
We talked about a lot of spiritual principles that he and I shared, and we were enjoying how, like, I'm not Christian, but we have a lot of, like, crossover points. Remember? I think I have about 5 minutes left in me, and then I got to elevate my leg.
That is fine. I think I'm just going to jump ahead to some more. We talked to Reverend Georgia. She was amazing. These are all ones we just all go back and listen to. Nicole Bigley, who has the podcast, A Psychic Story, which I know Denise listens to all the time and really enjoys.
Oh, nice.
There's some really great stuff on that. So that's another shout out to another podcast on top of ours. Katie starts to move at this point. You start to move and you have lug nuts problems. Your lug nuts get fucked up on your car. You had the most challenging story of travel I've ever heard. You always have the most challenging stories of travel I ever hear. But the story, I actually want to recommend everybody go back and listen to episode 73 of The Lug Nuts, just to hear the story of like the hotel and the madness of the rain and the guy with no teeth and smoking a joint while checking you in. And
oh, right. And the fucking tire exploding in the middle of a lightning storm. Yeah, that was a lot of, that was a lot. How am I alive? I'm lucky to be alive.
How are you still alive? Jumping around, we get some questions from the mailbag. Not that interesting. Sorry. Some of it's not. Not all of them are super like top notchers. They're all like pretty good. Some of them are like, yeah, that one was all right.
Yeah, but also we don't remember just looking at the title, right? We don't remember everything that happens.
And also almost inevitably when I go like, eh, that one wasn't okay, that's the one I'll hear from somebody about.
Exactly.
Like, that's the one that saved my life.
Exactly.
Shitty people being shitty and winning. Boy, I fucking hate that.
Yeah.
I hate it when shitty people win. But that's me in judgment and competition. So, and we talked about my birth trauma.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I remember that. The car accident your mom was in while you were in utero.
Yeah.
Big deal.
Very big deal. You open our friend Amy Lizardo's records and they are super bright.
No, that's right. That's right. Shiny, shiny Amy.
And again, we highlighted the difference between spirituality and religion, which is pretty important because she grew up very religious and still has religion in her life, but is also a spiritual person. And the two can exist next to each other, but aren't necessarily the same thing.
Indeed. All right. So if we were going to wrap this up.
Yeah.
Main takeaways.
From the year. What would you say this year? What is your takeaway, at least from the podcast, from your experience of the podcast this year, Katie?
I'm thinking.
Just start saying words and see what comes out of your face hole.
Ah, my light works.
Your light is very bright.
Okay, I guess like in terms of like doing the podcast, one of my favorite things is whenever I get into like interview mode with people, I feel like I could talk to everyone we've had on. Well, 9 out of 10 people we've had on for a long time.
We've got a couple where we're like...
Yeah, a couple duds. But like 9 times out of 10, we could talk for 4 hours and I would still have questions for them. And I think another thing is like the podcast always confronts and challenges and breaks apart my preconceived notions about what people can... Like what people's experience with... Like I always assume people are less woo-woo than they are. And they always turn out to be more... Everybody has experiences with the beyond or the more or the spiritual realm. And I get to learn the secret stuff that people don't always want to talk about in normal 3D life. So I love that about what we do.
Yeah, I think that's that. I think at least for this year, obviously, I think I already said somewhat, but that my takeaway has definitely been like the value of staying present fearlessly. And the way to do that is to take out the preconceived judgment I might have about what something might mean.
That's really good.
Or be. And so like the way to show up to a challenging moment rather than go, oh, this means that, so I better fight it, or, you know, is to go, okay, I'm hearing you and this is where I'm at with it, rather than, I don't know. I don't have a clear way of saying it, but yeah.
So rather than reacting and resisting, just being present to what you're experiencing and then asking a question.
Mm-hmm. Inspecting things instead of running the narrative ahead of it.
I see. Okay. Got it.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
And that's the truth that we've come across time and time and time again.
100%. And that matches what I'm saying too, of just like thinking like, oh, this person has told me they're not that. People also like to say when they're about to come on the podcast, like, I don't really have much experience. I don't really know anything. Then we get talking to them and it's like, yeah, I know the psychically know the history of buildings. And it's like,
right.
What? Everybody's got something.
Yeah, everybody's got something.
Well,
for sure.
I want to say thank you again to all of our podcast listeners and to Desmond and to Cassidy for all of their hard work keeping this thing alive. And go to Patreon, you guys, if you're moved by anything we're doing. I hope it's been fun for you. It's been fun for me.
Yeah. Thank you for being here for this whole year and the year prior. We're about to approach our 2-year anniversary. And thank you for joining us. Please continue to listen and download. And we're about to reach a benchmark of 1,000 downloads a month.
That's right.
We haven't quite reached it. So we need you to tell your friends and join our Patreon page.
I'm so proud of us. Go us.
Great.
High five to us.
Love it.
Plunk. Thanks, guys. We'll do our work. You do your work.
We'll do our work. And we'll see you in the new year.
Sounds like a plan.
Bye.
What are you asking for? All of the answers? Say what? All of the answers? Yeah, all the answers.
Hey, guys. Thanks for listening. We'd love to hear from you. Please email us with your questions so that we have questions to answer in the Akashic Records. Our email address is allanswerspod@gmail.com. That's allanswerspod@gmail.com. And if you'd like to find us on Facebook or Twitter, it's @allanswerspod, @allanswerspod. Thank you.
Mixed and edited by Desmond McNeese for We Mixed It, LLC. Go to whatsoundsawesome.com.